Gloria, every crown with glory and with praise. Tasting death for all men by God's grace. Given power to put all things in place. We see Jesus seated at the right hand of the throne, making intercession for his own, upholding all things by his word alone.
Yeah. Praise God. Good morning, everyone. Hallelujah. This is Brother Joseph, amen. Coming at you live today, glory to God. Today is June the 4th, 2023, and it's about 10, 11 in the morning, amen. All right. Very excited today about the Word of God, amen, and about what the Lord has been ministering to me in my spirit, amen. You know, the Bible says that the entrance of thy word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple, right? All right. Hallelujah. I want to thank everyone today for getting online with me. Today is June the 4th, 2023, and it's 10:11 in the morning. Amen. And we're coming at you with a live broadcast today, glory to God. And I've got a lot of material to cover. Amen. A lot of things that the Lord's been working in my spirit, and I'm faithful and I'm grateful for that. Amen. And the Lord is faithful. He's always faithful, amen, to show up and bring the administration, amen, to how he wants the course, the order of the course, amen. He is the head of the church, amen. He has that place. And I give it to him, amen. I don't mind, amen. I don't mind the Lord, amen, being a part of my life and ministering to me and bringing me what he wants to deliver. And obviously he does that by the Holy Ghost, right? All right, so again, I have a lot of things to cover, a lot of things on my heart, amen. I'm so excited and grateful for the Spirit of God, amen, and how he brings his word to my life, amen. Let me go ahead and open up some things here, and we'll get started with some prayer, amen. Amen. All right. Now, we've been talking about the way of God, amen, for quite a while now. And we're actually on part 7 now. And I saw a scripture. Actually, I saw it on a post. And it quickened in my heart, right? It quickened in my spirit, right? The Bible says that without faith, it's impossible to please him, right? And then the scripture also says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the rhema of God, right? So that spoken rhema in my heart, amen, is what was quickened to me, amen, and I started meditating on it, and I started seeing something here by the Lord, amen, and I just want to give it to you guys, and hopefully it'll minister to you as it's been ministering to me, amen. So, like I said, the Lord's been working with me in my spirit, amen, and I want to give you this, and I hope that it'll minister to you as it's been ministering to me. I love how the Lord keeps reinforcing the foundation, amen, and he's always strengthening us, amen, encouraging us, building us up, amen, because he knows as well as any of you do that the path going forward in our lives on an individual basis, on a domestic scale with our families, on the local body of Christ, amen, and then on the state level, city level, state level, etc., he knows the path of where things are going, all right, and it's very clear to see, you know, the things are pretty muddled up out there. Things are out of order everywhere we go. And of course, you know, as a son of God, you know, that's one of the things that gets in your heart is this covenant of peace, right? You want to set order and rule everywhere you go. That's just what a son does, right? In representing the Father, right? And we're going to see that in a minute as I come out with some scriptures. But Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord God, right now for your presence, oh God. In your presence, Father, is fullness of joy, Father God. Thou wilt show me the path of life, amen. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore, glory to God. And I thank you, Lord God, right now for your precious Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, how you quicken us according to your word, Father God, and how that the entrance of your word gives light, it gives understanding to the simple, Lord God. And we need to understand you, Father. We need to understand what's going on in the earth today. In our lives and our relationships with you, Father, we constantly need you, and we constantly need wisdom for our lives, Father. And I thank you, Lord God, how the sons of Issachar, Father God, they had an understanding of the times and the seasons, amen. And I thank you, Lord God, that you allow us to see forward, amen, and allow us to prepare and get ready, Father God, and mentally prepare, Father, in our hearts, Father, and get to a place, Father God, where it doesn't matter what's going on around us, amen. We're always knowing that you are ever guiding us and ever leading us, Father, and you'll always preserve your people, Father, and take care of us. Thank you, Lord God, for being a good shepherd to our lives, amen. And I bless you, Father, for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I wanted to start out today with some scriptures, amen. And this starts out in Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. So let's take a look at that. Psalms chapter 16, verse 11. All right. And we're going to get on the outline in here in a little bit, but first I want to bring this word to you, amen. Encouraging, amen. It is encouraging, amen. Even though the path, amen, the way of how we get to this place of joy and right hand that are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 16:11 says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." All right. If you go look at this passage in the scriptures before that, all right, Proverbs, Psalm 16, verse 11. If you look at these verses before that, this is talking about, prophesying about Jesus Christ, amen. And verse 10, the preceding verse, he says, "Therefore my heart is glad and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Verse 9, verse 10. "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Okay? And then he says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life," or the way of life. All right? There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. All right? The death is that you're not able to experience God. You don't have an ability to hear from the Lord. You don't want to hear from the Lord. You don't want correction in your life. You'd rather stay under that spirit of rebellion. And those type of people cause conflicts and problems everywhere they go because they don't want to maintain order. They don't want to understand order. They don't want anything to do with order. Okay? So then he says, "Thou wilt show me the way of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." All right? So, praise God. In your presence, all right, is fullness of joy. Now, let me show you what, all right, so, first of all, in order to get to this path where you're living in this resurrected life, you have to die first, all right? Because you cannot resurrect something that's not dead, okay? You cannot revive it, in other words. So it says, this is how we know what is the path of life, all right? The Holy Spirit always leads us in this way, or path of life, and that way is we must die daily in order to experience the presence of the Father. Every day is a decision you have. Every day you must make a decision that I'm going to seek to live for God and I'm not going to live for myself. All right. And obviously with the challenges and everything that we encounter in life around us, it sometimes that's difficult, right? Because the pressure, this is how we know what the soul, you know, the strength of the foundation is the pressure, right? The more pressure, if that foundation is not strong, it's going to crack and it's going to, you know, you're going to end up having a fit, a suke attitude, a soulish display that is not very attractive or comely, right? And as individuals that are seeking to walk with God, right, you know, you have an attitude and you have an outburst and, you know, as a son of God, you're going to repent before the Father, amen? So as I was saying, you know, as a son of God, you're always seeking to maintain order and peace everywhere you go. That's just what you do. You know, a peace is a situation that you're bringing into a situation. You're coming into a situation that's chaotic and out of order, right? And you're bringing the rule of God to that situation. That is the peace of God. And so the Holy Ghost, like I said, he's always leading us away to get, you know, like I said, sonship. And where we get to the Father is that the Holy Spirit is always going to direct you to die to yourself first, right? That's how it is. That's the order of God. Now, in his presence, we are greatly encouraged and filled with joy, right? You see, the presence of God is what encourages us, amen, and allows us to walk with strength. When you get encouraged, right? Have you ever been encouraged by someone and it just fills you up and lifts you up and gives you strength to move forward? Well, that's how the Lord works, right? He's always building us up and encouraging us. In Romans chapter 6, now I'm going to show you now Romans chapter 6, verse 4. So it says here, "Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For we, if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. In other words, we walk daily and die unto ourselves and take up our cross and follow him, then we're always going to be experiencing the glory and the presence of God. But if you walk and seek and to serve yourself, then you're going to come short of God. You're going to come short of what the best that God has for his sons and his daughters. Now, this word in verse 4, it says that word life is Zoe. Zoe is God's life. John chapter 10, verse 10, it says that the thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy, right? So the thief is obviously, you know, depicting the enemy here, but it's the attitude of the enemy. It's the way the enemy operates, right? So the thief is an attitude, right? The principle of anybody, like I said, if you look at verse 1 here, it says, he that tries to get in the sheepfold another way, the same as a thief and a robber. Well, the thief is always the one that's out of order, right? He just wants to take what's not his. Well, the things that he takes from us, you see, health, prosperity, you know, joy, peace, long-suffering, all these things that the enemy seeks to take from us, that's his goal, right? And if he can keep the word of God from out of our lives, then he will succeed in this. He will succeed because we're no longer walking in peace. We're no longer walking in joy, etc. We're constantly struggling, right? But he says that, again, I am come that they might have Zoe, Jesus said, and have it more abundantly. Not Zoe eternal, like I'm going to live forever, but Zoe every day experiencing God, you see? And the body of Christ and the religious system gets that a little bit twisted up, right? And that we're going to live forever. Well, the fact of the matter is, you're going to live forever whether you're with God or not with God. And that's a choice that every man and woman has to make. So, thou wilt show me the way of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore, right? Now, so the way of life, as it's described here, it says that therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the freshness of Zoe, the Zoe life. So see, the verse before in 16, Psalm 16, all right, verse 10, he says, thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, all right? Neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Why? Because you have resurrection life working, the force of God working to bring you from a state of death and revive you to life. You see, newness of life, freshness of life, baptism into death, same principle here. Isn't that amazing, right? I'm talking a little bit about the resurrection of the dead, right? And so that whole principle is stating that you have to die before you can go up. Nothing can go up unless it's down. You have to stay in that attitude of humility if you want to be honored by the Father in glory and be promoted. The scripture says that promotion doesn't come from the east, from the west, or from the south. That leaves the north. It comes from authority above you. And Jesus Christ, God is over Christ, Christ is over man, man is over woman, right? In the domestic realm. And then also in our workplaces, we have authorities, right? So those authorities are the ones that acknowledge and recognize and promote up. But not if you're living for yourself. If you're representing and honoring, right, the principles and the statutes and so on, then you're going to experience that life of God, right? You're going to experience the next level, all right, in your jobs, in your financial situations, and whatever that thing is, right? You're going to have joy in life. Right? Now, so if we have been planted together, we have to walk together as Christ walked. We have to also walk that pattern. He is the pattern son, right? He is the model of sonship that we model our lives after. So now verse 6, he says, Romans chapter 7, verse 6, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So we walk, all right, with the freshness. Newness means fresh. Freshness of Zoe, life of God, in Romans 6, 4 there. And in verse chapter 7, verse 6, he says that we serve in the freshness of the Spirit, the breath and the life of God, the encouraging word, in other words, the prophetic word that lifts you up, that drives you forward, all right? Now, and I've read this before, but I'm going to just, actually, one more verse here. Well, several more, but Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up or resurrected Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal body. You see, we can walk in health and divine health every day of our lives. Amen. But that life of God and that force of God is not going to come forth out of our spirits unless you're dead to yourself. Amen. If you have a motive for you, then it's not going to work. If you have a motive for God, then God will continuously honor his word. All right, so quicken, it says the latter part of verse 11, 8, Romans 8, 11, shall also quicken your mortal body. Now, the word quicken means to be vivified or revivified, regenerated, reanimated, re-strengthened, re-encouraged, rebuilt up. See, that's the whole thing about coming to God daily in our lives in prayer and seeking the Lord daily, because he's constantly reinforcing and re-strengthening you in spirit. And that spirit, the scripture says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, not just in his own body, but anything that you encounter out there in life that you run into, your spirit man's always going to come forth, the strength of your spirit. All right. But it can't come forth again if you're walking after yourself. All right. Now, praise God. So some of the synonyms for revise or to brace, revive or to brace, to breathe new life into, to cheer up, to enliven. You know, even when you come out of the hot, you know, working or being outside or whatever, somewhere where it's hot, and you come into a cool space, whew, that revives you, see? That's another synonym for revitalize. Renew, renovate, repair, replenish, restore, resuscitate, revitalize, revivify, stimulate, all right? So, again, it's all about waking up and being resurrected and walking in resurrection. But like I said, you want the path of life. You want to experience the joy of God. Amen. You want to experience the presence of God. That will show me the way of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Praise God. You see? You're going to experience that path of life and the presence and the fullness of God. But first you have to die. That's what the Holy Ghost is always going to lead to, right? Now, I like how it says this in the Passion Translation. He says, for you will not abandon me to the realm of death. See, God is obviously walking where we're having hardships and troubles, right? He wants us to walk in freshness and serve in newness, right? Always in Zoe. All right, but the enemy, obviously, his goal is to constantly keep us suppressed and oppressed and pushed down. He doesn't want the body of Christ to advance. He doesn't want the body of Christ to rise up and realize who they are in Christ, realize that they are the sons and daughters of God, amen. And so, therefore, he's constantly seeking to keep us pressed down, all right? So then he says, you will not abandon me to the realm of death, nor will you allow your faithful one to experience corruption. All right? Because of you, I know the path of life. As I taste the fullness of joy in your presence, at your right side, I experience divine pleasures evermore, forever. All right? Now, one of the things about, you know, walking in this newness of life, right, is that not only is he blessing you with strength and joy and encouraging you, but you're also get the passion of the Lord for when things are out of order. So let me give you an example of this. This is in John chapter 2, verse 13. Now this is when Jesus, I'll just read it. And the Jews' Passover was at hand. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of the money sitting. All right? And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables. Just flipped it all over, drove them all out. And he said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And merchandise is like, you know, an emporium. Don't make it a place where you can market all your stuff and sell all your stuff and you're involved in the kingdom of God and so on, and you know, having a place of strength and a place where you can be built up and encouraged. You understand what I'm saying? Don't make it a situation where you can merchandise your stuff. Now, and his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of thine house has eaten me up." You see, sons of God are constantly walking in a place where they want to please their father. They're not concerned about what the world says about them. They're not concerned about what their peers say about them. They make themselves of no reputation. That's what they do. They keep moving and walking in death, but they also, at the same time, experience resurrection. Now, they have to maintain order everywhere they go. And so, the sons of God are walking in this covenant of peace, and they maintain order. Now, look at this verse in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 26, 28. It's two verses. "I'll make a covenant of peace with them that will hold everything together. An everlasting covenant. I'll make them secure and place my holy place of worship at the center of their lives forever." Praise God. And in verse 20 it says, "The nations will realize that God, that I, God, make Israel holy when my holy place of worship is established at the center of their lives forever." Right? And that reminds me of the scripture, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Right? You see, this covenant of peace is constantly walking in the presence of God, the path of joy, the path of life. But everywhere we go, when we see things out of order, it grieves me. All right? Now, and so the sons, like I said, they are as bold as the lions. The scripture says in the Message translation, Proverbs 28:1, "The wicked are edgy and are edgy with guilt, ready to run off even when no one's coming after them. Honest people are relaxed and confident, bold as lions." King James says, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." You see, when you're walking in the encouragement and the confidence of who you are as a son of God with your father, you're as bold as a lion. Nothing upsets you. Nothing takes you out of your peace of ruling. All right? Now, I'm going to give you another example of this. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit here because there's quite a few verses there. But this is Numbers chapter 25. All right? And really, it's almost the whole chapter there. But, "And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab." All right, now, it's not hard to understand what whoredom means here for the body of Christ today, in that they're constantly compromising their integrity with God. They're constantly compromising the Word of God in their hearts. The Word of God says this, and they hear it, and they know it. They're hearing it by the Spirit, and they ignore it. All right? And because of that, their lives are full of compromise everywhere they go, you know. "And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods." Not only were they involved with the daughters of Moab, but they called them the sacrifice. "And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods." All right, so that's going on everywhere, all right. And earlier I made a statement about, you know, what can we expect, right, of what's coming down the road, right? Well, things are obviously so chaotic, right? And we're not going to experience the life of God, obviously, from the world. They're going to give you constant troubles and heartaches and so on. So let's keep reading here. Now, start with verse 6. "And behold, one of the children of Israel came and brought unto his brethren a Midianitish woman in the sight of Moses, in the sight of all the congregation of the children of Israel, who were weeping before the door of the tabernacle of the congregation." So this brother brought this woman, a Midianitish, presented her. "Phinehas, the son of Ezra," it says here, "and when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, had turned," And when Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, saw it, he rose up from among the congregation, and he took a javelin in his hand. And he went after the man of Israel into the tent, and thrust both of them through, and the man of Israel and the woman through her belly. So the plague was stayed from the children of Israel. So there was some serious situations going on here, some serious consequences for disobeying the Lord here. But the point I'm making here is that this brother rose up, and the Lord, and when Phinehas saw it, he rose up. And it says, and those that died in the plague were 24,000. 24,000 people died. And the Lord spake unto Moses, verse 10, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, the son of Aaron the priest, had turned my wrath away from the children of Israel when he was zealous for my sake among them, that I consume not the children of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say I, behold, I give unto him a covenant of peace, and he shall have it, and his seed after him, even the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. There it is again, the everlasting priesthood. And if you spend any time listening to these broadcasts and so on and hearing the message of the kingdom of God, you're going to understand that we're talking about the order of Melchizedek, the eternal priesthood, because he was zealous for his God and made an atonement for the children of Israel. You see, the sons of God are constantly getting in and championing the cause of God for people in any situation, whether it's sickness or disease or poverty or whatever the situation is, the wisdom that they need and so on. This is what the sons of God do. They're constantly before the Lord, before the people. Amen. They walk on both sides. So, again, you know, the sons of God walk in the peace of God, amen, everywhere they go, amen. So, and we're going to get started with the outline now, and I just wanted to share that with you guys and encourage you. The Lord is obviously building up his people and raising us up to be strong in the Lord, amen, the power of his might. Be strong in the ways of God. Be encouraged in the Lord, amen. Don't give in to this world. Don't compromise, amen. Don't compromise your integrity with God, amen. Now, we're going to start. I'm going to skip on down. We've covered a lot of situations here, topics, and the way of mankind, the wayside, the way of the strange woman, the way of the soul, the way of the minister versus sons. You know what? I'm going to read one verse on that point right there. All right, now let's take a look at this. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, last verse of that book. Paul wrote this. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we Christ. Amen. Now, corrupt here is the word kapaluo, to be a retailer, to peddle, to huckster, to retail. So we are not of those that corrupt the word of God. We're not retailing, we're not selling. Now, I'm going to be working on some books, and I've been wanting to get started, but I haven't yet. And of course, all this material that has been published on YouTube, I don't charge for it. I don't want to be paid for it, because my reward comes from the Father. And the same thing when these books come out and stuff, I'm not going to sell them. I'm going to give them away and so on. And, you know, like I said, I'm not trying to make something for myself. I'm not trying to retail the Word of God. Wow. Now, but that's, you know, like I said, the ministers versus sons, the Babylonian ministers are in this for themselves. The carnal man, they're carnal. They don't want to submit to authority. They're constantly striving, being full of envy and strife and division. The Babylonian ministers, the way of Balaam, right? They sold themselves out for hire. The way of Cain, always walking in rebellion. The way of the Pharisees and hypocrisies, they're always trying to figure out who they can market to. And I do want to read one on that one. Luke chapter 12, verse 1. Praise God. It says, in the meantime, when they were gathered together, an innumerable multitude of people, and so much that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, apostolic right there, order of first things, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. So these brothers are getting ready to minister. There was innumerable multitude here. It's 10,000. It's morias is the word. And it says that Jesus told them, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy, vanity. Their goal is to minister, right, to the people. They were getting ready to minister, 10,000. But Jesus said, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. You need to understand that you don't need to get in a situation like they do. They like to market and they want to sell all their products so that they can get their pockets, you know, filled. So, again, that's the way of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisies. You know, they imagine a vain thing. They're always walking in vanity. The spirit of error, you know, that was in Mark 12:14. I want to cover that one. Because I want you to look at what they were saying was true, but the attitude behind it, what they were saying was wrong. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? You see that? They had an attitude and a motive behind what they were going to ask him. They pumped him up and they stroked him, you know, his flesh, soul. And the point is that that's what, you know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that's what they're constantly doing. You know, hey, man, I said, oh, my God, that's a good-looking shoes. And you just start going on and on before you know it. You don't even know what they're doing, and they're manipulating you. All right, so, again, that's, you know, the way of the Pharisees. So I want to get down now to talk about sons of God, all right? And like I said, the covenant of peace, this is what the sons of God are always walking in, all right? Now, in John 1:12, he says that for as many as received him, to them gave he authority to become the sons of God. And that word sons is the word technon. Authority is the word exousia, all right? Authority to do and become a son, all right? Generate. Sonship, again, it's a constant, you know, understanding of God, and that God is constantly working on his people, strengthening you, correcting you, moving out of the way what's not good for you, and so on. And that's a son understands those principles and understands that God is constantly correcting, right? What son is he, Hebrews chapter 12, when the father doesn't correct? Are you bastards and not we us? Amen. What son, what we us are you? So a father has to correct. That's what he does. And he's always correct. I mean, that is the way of life, all right? Reproofs of instructions are the way of life, as it says in Proverbs. Now, another thing that the son is looking for, he's looking for the voice of the Father, amen? He's not interested in the voice of a stranger, obviously. He's not interested in the voice of, you know, his peers. He only wants to hear the voice of the Father. And so Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, starting with verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, all right? And lo, the heavens were opened. Wow. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Weas, my fully matured son, in whom I am well pleased. Praise God. You know, we encourage our children, right, when they're young, and we're constantly, you know, they're constantly saying, look, 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 you know, look, Dad, look, Mom. Because they need that's just significance. They need to understand that what they're doing is important, right? When it's in the right order. When it gets out of order, and they're trying to show you, look, and it's a perversion, right? You don't accept that, right? You got to bring that under the rule of God, covenant of peace. So, but here, the Father said, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son of whom I'm well pleased. That's what the sons of God want to hear from the Father. They don't want to hear anything else that comes from people that says, you know, when somebody tells me, you know, something that I've done good, and I'll just say, okay, well, thank you. I don't gloat in it and you know, brothers speak well of me, you know, and I don't gloat on all that, right? Because I'm not looking for my own reputation, right? All right, now, John 8:29, here's another one. And this is Jesus again. Sonship, right? Example. And verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, the we as of man, then ye shall know that I am he. When you lift up Jesus Christ in your life as the Lord of your life, not only in, not just in understanding, but in lordship of your life through the word of God, obedience, hupotasso, coming under authority, the word. The highest form of authority is the word of God. You see, and you have to accept God's word for what it is. The lawgiver, man, this is the word of God. This, the laws of the spirit of life, right? They come forth out of your spirit as he quickens you, as because you strengthen yourself in the Lord and in your relationship with him, he's able to easily bring life out of your spirit and bring in quicken a word to you. And then when you're out of order and you step out of line, same thing. He's able to come forth and tell you, Joseph, that's an unholy thing. That's an unrighteous thing. That's not right. And quickly you bring your soul back under authority. That I am in the Father, that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. I'm not seeking for my own self-preservation. I'm not seeking for my own self-promotion. But as my Father has taught me, those are the things that I speak. And how does the Father teach you? By correcting you, by encouraging you, by building you up, by strengthening you over and over and over and over and over. Have taught me. And he that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. A son of God wants to please the Father. The way of God, amen, sonship. His desire is to please the Father. And eventually, because you're sanctified unto the Lord, you're a vessel prepared unto the master's use. You are able to be distributed now by the Lord, distributed and sent to represent. Represent what he's taught you and trained you in. And as the scripture says in John chapter 1, and the point is that John made a statement here. He says they were baptizing. Jesus was baptizing. His disciples were baptizing. And they, you know, anyway, I'm going to sidestep that. But they told John, and John says, a man can do nothing except to be given to him of his Father. So see, that path of sonship and that path of learning the ways of God and sitting under and submitting to authority and sitting under the teaching of God, the kingdom of God, that path, that way of life, all right, is going to bring you to that place where you're now able to represent that word of God in your life and minister it and teach it with strength and authority, all right? Now, praise God. So, sons of God, they want to please God. And 1 Thessalonians 4:1, look at that one. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us, see, they received something from the Father. That's the only way they could have gotten what they had. This, we're talking about Paul here now. And of us, how we ought to walk and to please God so we would abound more and more. Amen. We should always walk to seek to please God. Amen. And so these, you know, Paul, like I said, he had to go through some training, just like every son of God does, daughter of God and so on. And it's a process, right, of constantly staying under the word, staying under authority, receiving the Lord, receiving his way, which is to correct you and realign you and re-strengthen you and encourage you and so on. All right, now, the sons of God in Romans chapter 8, verse 15, they're always crying, Abba, Father. Amen. I'm walking along somewhere, and if I start, you know, talking to the Father, that's what I do. I start crying out to the Lord, Father. You know, whatever the situation is, bring wisdom, bring help this individual. They're going through some tough times, whatever. You see, it's always Father, Father, Father. You're always crying, Father, Father, Father. And the other thing about sons of God is they know that when they ask the Father for something, they're going to receive it. 1 John 1:3-22, praise God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are all that are pleasing in his sight. Sons of God are seeking to always please God. Amen. Praise God. Now, another thing about the sons of God is that the word that they're ministering and teaching is not theirs. It belongs to the Father. Take a look at this. John chapter 7, verse 16. Verse 15. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? He didn't go to an institution. I didn't go to an institution to learn this word of God. And so on. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, all right, if any man will do his own will, he shall know of the doctrine. You shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaks of himself seeks his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory, the Father that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law, and yet one of you seeks to kill me? You can't, as he says in 1 John, you can't say that you're walking in God if you're not, if you hate your brothers and sisters. You see? Out of order. All right. Matthew 26:39. See, Jesus had to deal with his own soul too. And here in the Garden of Gethsemane was the toughest time that he had with dealing with his soul, because three times it took him to ask the Father, if not my will, but thine will be done. See, and the thing is that, and he went a little further, verse 39, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass. And nevertheless, not my will, but thou be done. You see, the sons of God are always seeking the will of God, which brings you to the word of God, because the word is the will, which shows you the way of God, which will eventually bring you into the work of God and the inheritance that God has for you. All right? And so, again, their desire is thy will be done, right? On earth as it is in heaven. The will, the word, the way, the work. Everything that the sons of God are walking in and what they want to walk in is to do the will of God the way it's being represented in heaven down here on earth. That's what they're seeking. Amen. So, again, Philippians chapter 2, verse 7. This is how the sons of God walk. This is what they do, man. They're not looking for their own thing. Verse 7, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God highly has exalted him. God highly resurrected him. When you die in the Lord, you're resurrected in the Lord. Praise God. So, again, walking in freshness and newness of God, serving in newness, amen. Walking in Zoe life, resurrection life, amen. Let's see here. Sons of God, they don't make merchandise or sell the word of God, 2 Corinthians 2:17. And, you know, I mean, I know what I'm telling you is going to strike some of you pretty hard, but, you know, you got to get to that place where it's not about me, right? You know, and you got to get there because God has so much more in store. He needs sons that will represent his inheritance, right? The agreement. He has to have somebody that's going to represent him and bring this covenant of peace to the earth. And it's not an easy task because you're dealing with a lot of souls out there. You're dealing with souls that have attitudes, souls that are filled with demonic activity everywhere you go. And as a son of God, you're able to see that distinction clearly. You know what is of God and what is not of God all the time because you have the word. It's naked and open. You see by the word. They don't handle the word of God deceitfully, 2 Corinthians 4:2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Commending here ourselves, he says, is that to put together, to bring to an understanding of what God has given us for every man in the sight of God. Man, praise God. Now, I already read that in John chapter 2, verse 16, where he turned over the money changers, the tables, and told them this isn't where you need to be doing this. This is the place of God. And so the zeal, they have a zeal for God, and they want to do it the ways of God. Amen. And then he says here, restoring back to divine favor through the ministry of reconciliation, 2 Corinthians 5:18. Let's look at that. 2 Corinthians 5:18. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of divine favor. Amen. Restoration to divine favor, bringing back everybody to the favor of God, where they know how to walk in freshness of life and serve in newness of spirit. All these sons of God, all these daughters of God, walking after the Lord, walking and being disciples of God, being servants of God, wanting it for only because God is pleased, and to help God's people, to help humanity everywhere they go, as Melchizedek, as the order of Melchizedek, as priesthoods, right? He was a king of Salem. He was a king of peace. Amen. He was Melchizedek, the righteous one. And we walk in the same order, amen. We bring that peace of God. We serve, like I said, in freshness of spirit. We serve our Father. We serve the people everywhere we go. This is what we do. Amen. In verse 19, it says, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Restoring back to the divine favor again. To change mutually, to exchange. He was exchanging. You know, if you walk after the way of God, he's going to teach you how to exchange your life for his life. You see? And that's what we do, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The word, the logos, amen, the lawgiver, amen. Restoring back to divine favor the people with the word of God, teaching the people the wisdom of the just, you see? The heart of the Father. He wants to train, he wants to teach you, but you got to do it his way. Wow. In verse 21 here, 5:21, and it made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And I encourage you right now, as Jesus said, change your lives, for God's kingdom is here. You know, turn from the foolishness, get before the Father, ask him to forgive you, amen, for the foolishness, and turn from all this chaos and confusion, constantly though, not just one time. This is a constant thing, right? I don't have to go to a fellowship and go to the altar every, you know, you do this everywhere you go, amen? And so, and what we're doing is we're constantly coming to the mountain of the house of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3. Well, we're going to learn of his ways, but you can't learn of his ways if you don't want to do it his way. The path of life. You want the path of life, amen, then you're going to have to understand that The path of life is walking in that you must die to yourself first, always, as a disciple of God, as a son of God. All right? And this ministry, this more excellent ministry, Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see that saith he that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. I don't want you to do this any other way except the way that I've given it to you. But now hath he obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better contract, a better agreement, a better inheritance, which was established upon better promises. Amen. God has an inheritance for all of us, amen. But we have to do it the way of God. We can't get bypassed this principle. He's not interested in building you up for yourself. He redeemed you for himself. He bought you for him. I paid for you, in other words. You know how you walk in a store and you paid for an item, you have your receipt to prove it? The receipt and the proof is that he died and rose from the dead. Amen. And so he's constantly encouraging and building up, amen. And we've got to do it the way of God, amen, in order to get to a place where, as the scripture says in Psalm 16, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Father, I thank you, Lord God, for this time with you, with this time and fellowship in your word and your spirit, O God. I encourage the people, Father God, to be built up in the Lord, amen, to be encouraged in the Lord, and how you're strengthening us, Father, for the times ahead. Because times are getting tougher, Father God, but thank God that there's life in us, Father God. There was, even as Goshen had light, Father, we have the light of God, amen. We walk after our spirits, Father, as your Holy Spirit quickens us and constantly brings us your word, amen, that we might understand your desires. I thank you, Lord, and I bless you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Thank you. live.